So, welcome to the first Real Talk at BornHack 2023. First of all, I would like to, and then you can clap afterwards, I would like to announce that there's still slots available for massage today. If you go to the web shop, if you have some sore muscles that needs massaging, the guy who's doing the massages is really, really good. So please go to the web shop on the BornHack website and book a massage. There's also slots on Saturday, I think. So yeah, I promise to announce that. Then let's give a big welcome to Flummer, who's going to talk about this year's batch.
Can get the slides up. Perfect. So welcome. I know that the badges are not available at the info desk yet, but they will be. They are here. We need to put some firmware and stuff on them, program them, and they'll be available as soon as we can get them there. So this year, we are playing with NFC. It's a technology that has sort of moved into a lot of sort of everyday things in recent years. And I'll start by going through a little bit how NFC is and how it works, and then we'll go into the more details of how the batch is set up. So NFC is short for near field communication, and it's a sort of radio frequency identification, and building on top of that, it uses the 13.56 megahertz band, which is also known as the high frequency RFID. It's mostly used for short distances, so places where we can get fairly close. It doesn't work from like meters away. In theory, you can get up to meters, but in practice, that will not happen with anything that resembles a regular antenna. And it's also designed for very sort of low data rates, low information. And most often you see it in little plastic cards like these. Usually they have print on them with marketing or whatever. It's hidden away in these plastic cards. There are also other types of RFID, just to sort of give a scope. So the sub 130 kilohertz stuff, the older access systems, like for doors, getting into buildings, server rooms, and so on, often use the 125 kilohertz band here in Europe, at least. And those only had an ID. There was nothing else. It was just this ID number. And nowadays, they are very easy to crack. It's copy them is not a problem. They're still used for like simpler stuff in this frequency range. It's also used for animal tracking. So if you put a little chip in your pet, when your cat runs away, somebody finds it, they can actually, the vet can have a scanner. They can scan that chip and get the ID out. And then they can look up who's owner of this pet. Another use of RFID is the 430 megahertz band in Europe and the 900 megahertz band in the US for like shipping containers and inside a factory floor, controlling little boxes moving around and so on. That's also known as UHF as an ultra high frequency. And then there's the like toll booth systems, the little store belt rubies or whatever, when you go through these bridges and so on, they use 2.4 gigahertz. So those are the other kinds of RFID stuff. But for this, we'll focus on the NFC that is sort of in the middle here. They are most commonly, like pretty much anybody of you probably have a payment card that has NFC in it. It's the tap to pay, the contactless payment that usually speeds up the sort of processing in the store. You don't have to enter your PIN if it's low amounts and so on. They have become very popular. Like the stores love them because they can handle more customers in the same time and so on. And also they don't break as easily, like the chip might get dirty and the contact doesn't work. The chip, you can pretty much run it through the washing machine and it'll still work. Also travel cards, here in Denmark we have these Rejsekort things. They are also NFC based. And access control, so some places you might switch from the older RFID stuff, the POX or the EM4100, to NFC to get more security, but in many cases it's also because you want functionality. So like a hotel updating their system, they can actually use the data on these cards to prevent having to wire every single lock in every single room of their building, so that you can have some intelligence there and a little bit of crypto to protect stuff. And if it's not super high security, that will work okay. The building where I have an office recently changed to NFC bricks because they could simply change the lock part of the lock without taking any wires. There's a little battery in there. But then they can do functionality where some users can access some doors, others can't access the other doors, and so on. But every user only have one little brick or card or something. Another place where NFC is used, not as common as the other ones, but is like at museums where you all want to sort of augment the exhibits in different ways, where you have like a phone, you can get a URL or something, similar to QR code being used, where you can scan the QR code. But here with NFC instead, there can maybe be a little more data in there, smart posters and that sort of things. And then there's also provisioning. So when you get like a little home device of some sort that needs to connect to Wi-Fi, you need to have some credentials and so on. NFC can also be used for that. So if you have like an app that for that device, then you can just touch it up to your phone up to the little NFC antenna on the device, and then you can sort of communicate and put in the credentials. So sort of the getting a device on your network, little IoT stuff and so on. That sort of mechanism is actually what part of the little part on the tech of the badge is actually meant for that, because it has a dual interface. And the last one I mentioned here is a trigger for tasks. So many smartphones have these NFC stuff built in nowadays. And since there's a unique ID in all the tags, well, unique, then they can be used to trigger things. So you can have like a little tag next to your bed. So when you put your phone there, it can sort of read that tag and then run some commands in your home automation or whatever. It could also be other things. You can sort of pre-program things where you simply just tap your phone, maybe as part of another operation where you put it to charge or whatever. Then you can sort of trigger things to happen. So that's another thing that you can use these NFCs for. So NFCs are sort of radio stuff. But it's radio slightly different than, for instance, an antenna like this. Where walkie-talkie and the same radio in there, the NFC stuff is sort of asymmetric, where you have an active device, which is the reader or like a phone. It could also be the payment terminals. All these have some sort of power in there. They have either a battery or they are plugged in, they're connected to a computer or something, where they have permanent power up. They can supply power. And the little coil, I'll probably use the word antenna or coil, but I mean the little traces that are on the PCBs or put into these plastic cards. It's not a traditional antenna, it's slightly different, but this coil will generate a powered field that when you approach one of these passive tags, they can sort of get the they can get energized without having a battery, without anything in there. So they use the magnetic field and sort of rectifies the frequency, the 13.56 megahertz, rectifies it and makes power that they can use to power up. In some cases, they can even get so much power out of this field that they can power other things, like a little extra controller and so on. So that very sort of asymmetric thing is what makes these very doable, you can't really just break them, but they can take a lot of beating because they're totally encased in plastic. There's no battery, there's no contacts, there's nothing. So that's a design thing about NFC and also all the other RFID stuff in, usually. So the communication between the active part and the passive part is very similar to an old-time transformer where you have a coil and then usually there'll be a metal thing between and then another coil. And then via this metal thing that sort of helps the magnetic field sort of be a shared field. And they can transfer energy between these two coils. Almost all sort of when you plug something into the wall will have some sort of that inside it to bring the voltage down. And in modern things, there's very little one and then a lot of electronics around it. In the old time, it was just one large brick, heavy one. The theory when you have this close to a reader is very close to that kind of transformer. That's just not this metal thing. And then the reader, the active part, can modulate the frequency a little with amplitude shift keying, so to send data to the reader part. So it gets little bits. And it's fairly slow. It's low data and so on. But the way that the tech gets commands back to the reader is a little more interesting, where it pretty much just shorts the connection, so that it pulls way more power, and then the reader can actually detect that. So that's sort of a way of sending back without actually sort of being the active transmitter. It just sort of shorts the coil, and then the reader can say, oh, you're pulling a lot of power, then, and doing it very quickly, it can actually read these things. So if you look inside these tags, this is a transparent one. It's actually pretty much the same as this. It's just transparent plastic instead. So the little red one going around, that is the coil, and it goes into a little chip, and that chip has all the getting the rectifying the frequency and getting power, and then also having the ID and the flash and the memory. So there's a unique ID. I put it in quotes because they're supposed to be unique. They are when they come from the factory, like NXP produces them and others also. They are unique. They have sort of a first part is the manufacturer and then some unique IDs, and they promise they don't use the same IDs again. But I think this card specifically is made so that you can actually clone it. You can change the ID on it. So there are Chinese manufacturers that produce cards that can be rewritten. And that's of course a security issue if you use it as just the ID as your security stuff. But some way that the readers, the more advanced ones, try to get around it is that they just try to change the UID, and then if the UID can be changed, then okay, that's a fake card, and then they drop it. But of course, the people making the fake cards, they try to circumvent that by you have to do some little hoops to change the ID first. It's a little sort of talk of, but the uniqueness, it is possible to fake or clone cards to some degree. But some of them also have like some crypto stuff, something like a little engine where they sort of have a private key inside and never let go of that. That can sort of up the security when using it for door access and so on. The one on the badge does not have that sort of fancy stuff. The memory on these cards, the one on the badge would have 2K of memory. That can be formatted in different ways. NDEF is a NFC data exchange format. And if you want to read an NFC tag with an iPhone, iOS, then you need to have it in NDEF format because they only support that. On Android, you can also do a little bit of other things. And when we get these chips from NXP, they are sort of factory reset without any format on them. So they had to be formatted first, and then we can put little records on them. It could be records like a URL, it could be a business card, it can be just text string. There are different sort of standard types. The tricky thing about the business card thing is that if you scan it with an iPhone, nothing happens. It doesn't recognize the business card. But a URL is easily recognized by both Android and iPhone. So if you want to share your business card, for instance, you can put a URL to a business card, and then it's sort of on the iPhone is tricked to open the URL, then see, oh, that's the business card, and then it actually sort of triggers and finds a business card. On Android, it just shows up as a business card. You can add it to your contacts. So the reader part, the active part, it is put in quotes here because it can also write. So it's both a reader and a writer. And it's similar to access points and deck gateways and so on. It's sort of the gateway between these this communication and then some sort of application behind. Usually it could be a computer. In the batch case here, it's a little RP2040 microprocessor. And via this communication channel up to the card, you can send commands and you can get replies from the tech. So it's always the reader that sort of initiates all these things. The tricky thing is that sometimes an active device can also be a tech. So for instance, if you use your phone to pay for stuff in the store, it actually emulates a credit card and then sort of presents itself as a credit card and a tech, and the reader will see it as a tech. In the credit card case, it's not a copy of your credit card. It's a separate credit card with a separate number and set up. So that they sort of designed the system, so it's not a cloning system. It is individual cards. So the batch that we have here, the active part should be able to do this also. So the batches, we say badges because it's two. And some of the goals we had is to have something super light, very similar to what a badge is at all the boring conferences with cardboard badges. So have a little light thing, you can actually wear it, it's just hanging, no need for a battery or anything. It could even take a little bit of washing. We would like to have some sort of functionality maybe after the event so that you can use it as a tool. And we hope we can sort of have this fit in that area a little bit. The design, it's shaped exactly as a credit card size. And it's one of the tricky things, these antenna coils, because they have to be very precise for the chips to actually sort of work with it. You can do a lot of matching circuit, and on the reader, it's also required. On the text, you can actually, if you match, design the circuit in the exact right way, you can go directly into the chip and don't need extra parts. So there's only two actual parts on the tech bench. The past few years, it's been a little tricky with parts because the world has been a little broken on that front. This year, I've been looking to the shops in China and found parts that are available there due to the fact that we are producing the batches in China, and getting parts into China is sometimes a little difficult, and having a shortage of stuff is not making it easier. But I think I managed to find parts that are all sort of easily available to them. The main processor that we're using on the reader badge is, I think, some surplus that has ended up in the store in China. So I got them very cheap, otherwise it wouldn't have happened. I got some parts first. I assembled some prototypes. This is a prototype that I kind of messed a little bit up, so I had to fix it. But that's sort of part of the process. And also the antennas. Making these antennas, the easy way is finding a calculator online, and that's what I've done, where you specify different dimensions, the thickness of the wires, the distance between the wires, how long they are, and then you can sort of punch in all these numbers, and it gives you some indication of what is the inductance and so on, what frequency resonates it with. And then you can sort of say, okay, is this within the bounds of what the chip can handle, and what other parts do you need to do that? And I've just been fiddling back and forth a lot until I found something that this is actually doable, fits in this area and so on. I tried making little one with rounded corners and so on, but The performance were of all the ones I made was best on the design that I ended up here with a very square, following the designs very closely on these calculators. So if you want to make your own user calculator, you get fairly close and it works fairly okay. You might be able to tweak a little bit more and get a little bit better reading distance, but these are okay, I think. So they have prototypes were hand assembled. I'm using a technique with solder paste, stencils, tweezers, and hot plate. I really like this method, and if you guys want to try that out, there's actually a workshop on Friday at 12, where Theo Boom will be doing a workshop here with exactly that technique. And it's a technique where you're not as stressed because you put paste on it first, and then you just place the components. You can take a break anytime. You can just put them on there, and when you're sure and you can check that all of them are perfectly aligned, you can put it on the hot plate and a little solder, and everything will be, it'll just sort of snap in actually because of the surface tension of the solder. And you have a board that you don't even need to clean afterwards. Whereas if you go in with a soldering iron, you will likely have to clean something, otherwise it'll look ugly. So I like that technique if you want to learn it. I learned it at a hacker camp or hacker congress in Germany. I've been using it since, so have a look there. Also on the sort of the design of the PCBs, I'm using KiCad 7. The files are available on GitHub. And if you want to learn that, there's also a workshop on Sunday about how to use KiCad to design PCBs. Highly recommended. So getting to the two badges. This is the tag badge. It pretty much has only two components. It has a little chip with eight legs, and it has a little capacitor. That are the only two parts that are needed. And then it has a coil behind all the text. There's like a coil with, I think it's seven windings or something. It's just little traces on the PCB going around, and then it jumps on the backside to get back to the chip. There's no battery on it. It can run just as this. You can put it up to a reader. You can put it up to your phone. They will come with pre-programmed an NDEF record that has a URL that you can scan with your phone and goes to the GitHub. The chip used is called the NTAC I2C Plus. It's a little chip that has this 2K memory in there. It also has a unique ID, unique, you can copy it. The difference between a card like this and this tag is that it has a connector, so you can connect it to the other badge, also last year's badge, and also I think the previous year, where you can actually program the same memory via I2C instead, writing to registers and addresses and reading from it. Though you should be aware that there are also some registers that can lock certain parts of the memory, either from the RF side, the coil, or from the I2C side, and you can, in theory, if you lock both sides, you can't go in and replace it or fix it. So you can brick the card in some way. So please try to be a little careful when messing with these registers. And also, if you put the card up to an unknown reader somewhere, let's hope that those that put up readers and interactivity don't do nasty things to your badge. You can log it off, so you can, but some of the interactivity might need to be able to write to it. When it comes to the active device, the reader, it is powered via USB, so you can either use a computer or you can have a power bank or something like that. The main sort of NFC stuff is the PN7150. It's a chip that is slightly older. They made a new version that is called 16 in the end, but it's still a fairly powerful chip, and it's one that was available at a decent price. It communicates with something called NCI. It's a NFC command interface. It does that via I2C to the main controller on the board, which is the RP2040. It's a Raspberry Pi. Same as on the Pico. It's powerful, has two cores, has USB connection, and we will have a CircuitPython preloaded on it. and a little driver that can sort of communicate with the chip. There's also two user buttons and two LEDs. It's mainly designed if you want to use this badge sort of out in the field, have a power bank on it. You can sort of have different operations. You can have the little LEDs blink if you get a read or something like that. There are also some pads up in the top for debugging if you really want to go deep, but you don't need it. So the RP2040 has a USB bootloader. You can just hold down boot when you reset it, and it'll go into this USB bootloader, and you can program it with whatever you want. It's just a UF2 bootloader. So the prototypes were assembled by me, but the final ones were done out in China at PCBWay. And they sent me this little video of their production line. So this is the, I think, the stenciling machine that puts solder paste on it first, and then runs through a series of pick and place machines. Some of them they just run through. I don't think they use all of them for this one here. But they have different feeders on each machine that has some parts, and then it grabs a part here and there, and then puts it on the PCB. It comes out here and moves into the next one. There's a little panel that has both the reader and the tag next to it, and little holding tabs. And then these little robots, they pick off parts at the feeders and then move them in and place them exactly on top of the solder paste. And then when it's done placing the parts, it runs out again on the conveyor belt, and usually they have a little manual inspection afterwards so that they know that no parts has had misaligned. And then when it's everything looks good, they send it through an oven. It's like this long oven. We have different zones, so they ramp up the temperature and so that the chips doesn't break. And then they end up soldering, they cool down, and then the boards are depanelized where they remove the extra tabs and so on. And I think they've done a very nice job in cleaning up the edges, so that's very nice. So programming the batches, primarily the reader, we'll have CircuitPython preloaded on it. It connects via USB, shows up as a mass storage device. There's a code.py file. When you change that code.py file and save it, it will reload and run the code you have in there. If you're having typos or missing libraries or whatnot, you can connect to sort of a serial terminal. Where you can get outputs of errors and so on. You can also go into this REBL interactive where you can run Python commands and interactively scan the I2C bus and so on. Estmeal is working on a CircuitPython library for this PN7150. We have some sort of whole connection to the batch so that we can read something. We need to finalize the final things, and then we'll program on the batches. You can also use the reader with a little connected wire. It'll be included also, so you can connect the two batches together, and then you can change the content of the NTAC chip or read it out again. So if for instance you're using it for a game or something where somebody writes something to your little tag, then you can read it out via the reader batch, or you can just read it with your phone or something. The little cable and the connections on the badge, they are SparkFun Quick or Adafruit Stemma QT compatible, same as was on the badge last year. And if you have little extra things for that, you can of course connect them also. There's also a library for the PN7150 for the Arduino IDE framework. It's made by Electronic Cats. And you can load this library into the Arduino IDE, and you also need to load a package for the board package for the RP2040. But then you can actually program it very easily. Just press the boot and then hold boot and then press the reset button. It comes up in the bootloader, and you can just say program in the Arduino IDE, and it'll program it. And you can also have a serial terminal there to monitor activity and so on. Some of the ideas for projects, either by you or maybe also the batch team, will look into some of these. Is to make sort of a piece of bridge code that sits in the Raspberry Pi that takes the NCI interface, the NFC controller interface that the NXP chip has, and then converts these commands to UART that can be done via USB. The idea here is to actually make it into an NFC reader that acts as any commercial USB reader, where you can just plug in, and there's a libNFC, I think, on Linux that you can actually, there's a standard for these things. So that could be a little project of making that bridge code. The other thing could be a very simple one where you have a keyboard emulation. So over USB, it emulates a keyboard. So every time a tag is scanned, it will just type out all the ID numbers of the tag. Could be a very easy one also. Many commercial readers function very, very much like that. Another way to change content on the tag is to use mobile phones or desktop apps. So both on Android and iOS, there's a tool called NFC Tools. It's sort of a little Swiss army knife kind of things for playing with NFC. You can read tags, you can write tags. They do have a paid version that can do a little more, bit more, but the free version is capable of doing a lot of things, and it exists both of both platforms. There's also NXP Tag Writer. That's the one we'll be using to format the cards. It's made by NXP, who also makes the chips. On iOS, you can't sort of format the card because you can't read it afterwards. It has to be NDEF formatted. On Android, you can both format them and make them factory reset. On desktop, if you have like a USB reader, there's also NFC tools for that. And then I'll just sort of mention a few other tools that are sort of related in this. The Proxmark Free, I saw one of you earlier that also had a similar thing. That is a tool similar to that, that can read and write a lot of NFC stuff, also RFID. This one needs to be connected to a computer. It's sort of a device that has a part of the software running on the computer. Another one is the Flipper Zero. Some of you might know it. It's also a little toy tool. Very fun, self-contained, has NFC reading, emulating. It's a little bit more, or at least the standard firmware is a little bit more sort of commercial, where they don't allow you to change UIDs and so on. But maybe you can convince it to do that anyway. There's also a little thing, something called the Chameleon. This can actually emulate NFC tags. And you can have multiple on there, so you can switch which tag you want to emulate. It has a little battery, so it can run without a computer. And then if you're doing sort of pen testing or red team stuff, this card is a little sort of tricky thing that I didn't design it. It's a guy, Corey Harding, that designed this one. It has two coils on there, and when you hold it up to a reader on a door or something, it'll light up either a LED in one side or the other side, depending on which type of reader it is. So if it's low frequency, one of them will light up. If it's high frequency, it'll be the other one. And it's abusing the whole sort of power power system in these RFID setups. So you can use that to sort of check which kind of attack you need to do on a reader. There's also cards like this. This is a commercial for Molex, but it's actually an RFID blocker card. So if I have this in the stack of my credit cards and so on, the cards can't be read because this here will suck all the energy. So that's also, they exist. I haven't been able to find them. I just got this at a trade show, but they do exist. You can also, of course, put it into like a metal container, your cards. I use a little thing like this normally. You can't read the card through this. But simply having metal on one side is usually not enough if you have a good reader. So you have to protect them either with an active or sort of with some electronics in it, or with like fully containing them. We are also trying to integrate the badge a little bit more into the game team. We have had like tokens on the badge before, but this time we have been making a little box. It looks like this. It's powered. Inside it has a Raspberry Pi and the power supply, and it has a little NFC reader. And during the camp here, the game team will try to sort of make a little sort of extra hunts, little challenges, where you can use your primarily the tech part of the badge and hold it up to these. In the bottom section of this, there's a reader on the backside. So watch out for these. They'll be spread out in the field for some game stuff. If you want to make your own station, I have a bunch of these. I think I have 10 or something. They're in the hardware hacking area. It's fairly easy, just connecting, I think, 8 wires to a Raspberry Pi, and then you can communicate with Python. And you can read and write IDs, but you can also read and write some data on them. So you can use to make some sort of, I don't know, blinky-blinky thing in your village, or I think I heard some ideas about maybe provisioning servers by holding up your tag with the private key, or public key on or something. I don't know. Go at it. Have fun. They're free. You can just grab them in the hardware hacking area. That'll be along with a bunch of other parts. There are also some cards if you want to play with that. I think Game Team also has a bunch of NFC stuff to play on. So, hardware and code is on GitHub. More code will go on GitHub. And if you make some awesome hacks, I would love to see pull requests. We use a slightly different model for our branches. So if you have something and don't want to put them on your own GitHub, you can just do a pull request to a separate branch on this repo, and we can put it in there. We already have like one branch that is the hardware, one branch that is CircuitPython, one branch that is the initial code, and so on. You can also just do a pull request to the README file with a link to whatever you have made. The hardware designs is in KiCad 7. You won't be able to open it in KiCad 6 or older. It will complain a bit. Maybe if you force it, you can do it, but much easier in KiCad 7. So that was pretty much it. If there are questions, I'll be happy to answer as good as I can.
Any questions?
Can the reader talk to other readers?
If it's in card emulation mode, it's supposed to do that, yes. So one of them needs to be in reader mode or active device mode, and the other one needs to be in card emulation. But code for the card emulation, you need to fiddle a little with that.
Okay. And what is the maximum load you can pull from the tag, basically?
Sorry, once again?
What is the maximum current you can pull from the tag?
It's very little. On the so there are two little pins, like pads next to the chip. One of them is V out, and the other one is FD. FD stands for field detection. Mm-hmm. So that will go higher, I think, when an active field is there. The V out has to be activated by a register writing in there to actually make anything, and it's not. You have to maybe normalize it a little bit. And it's very little. It's tiny little things. But it's enough to run a tiny microcontroller.
Okay, we are talking 2 milliamp.
I can't remember the exact. And also, it all depends on the distance to the reader and how the reader is and so on.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Hello. The card emulation mode of it, can that be used to spoof other unique IDs? So could you clone a card and say, yes, I'm this unique ID instead?
I believe so, and I really hope so. that should be possible, yes. Maybe Esmeet has some extra info on that.
No, I just want to say that all this, of course, depends on how well the software is working. So,
yeah.
If anyone likes reading data sheets and writing a bit of Python to continue the driver I started for the NFC chip, then please contact me and I'll get you set up so you can work on it.
Awesome. So the Arduino library has an example of using the reader to detect another reader. I think that is a good example to start out with if you want to do the Arduino side of it.
Yeah. Anything else? No. Let's give Flomma an extra hand.